Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. My name is Isaac Whedon. Before I get started, I just really wanted to thank you for devoting some of your time to listen to what is on my heart to share with you today. I am going to do my absolute best to stay within a 30-minute time frame, so let's pray that I'm able to do that without rambling on. So I had the privilege and opportunity to be able to do a solo episode a few weeks back, and I had a great amount of feedback on that. So as I've been encouraged to do more, here we are on another solo episode with just myself and, well, Jesus, hopefully. I'm not doing this by myself. So I've been actually praying about what is the next topic I should talk about, what is something I should be able to share with you as listeners, as well as fellow creatives. And something that has been weighing heavily on my heart, and this has been for a long period of time, but as I was in prayer this morning, I was just asking the Lord, you know, what it is that I can speak about that He knows needs clarification. And He also sees that the body of Christ is lacking in this. And so something that has been heavy that I want to talk about today is the body of Christ being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so I've had the privilege to be raised in a Christian home. My family is devoted to the Lord. I am truly, truly honored and blessed to be in this position. And with that said, I've been raised with amazing biblical wisdom. And that has brought me to an understanding of, you know, who God is. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? How does this life look like? And above the things that my parents were able to teach me, it did come down to a point of me having to search for these things myself. And I do believe that as parents, you have a job for a solid 18 years. I mean, I'm saying a parenting never stops, but for 18 years, your job is to really mold and upbring a person into adulthood. And as Christian parents, which I hope to become one day, our main duty within that is to help our children come to an understanding of who God is and teach them what the truth is, teach them the Bible, help them understand what it is that they need to know. And not that you can force your faith upon them or give them your faith, but you are called to equip them with all that they need so that they can make the right conscious decision as to whether or not they want to follow Christ. And that is something I've been privileged to be able to experience in my own life, where my parents did a fantastic job in teaching me what the truth is. However, in the midst of that, I still decided to choose my own path and pursuit of pleasure. And unfortunately, I dove into that. But it's all for God's glory, because God gets to use that now for a testimony and be able to connect with other people with things I've experienced in a sin-infested lifestyle. So without me going too much further into my own life, something that I've been seeing regularly over and over and over, especially in the body of Christ, is the lack of understanding the history of the church, understanding why we do what we do in the body of Christ. What does it really mean to be a disciple of Christ? Why we should understand what is happening in the world so that we can compare it to what Scripture is saying, so that we are not being conformed to the ways of this world, but we're being renewed in our minds and our hearts and our spirit by the Holy Spirit to be able to bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven. And so, unfortunately, especially for my generation of the millennials, and it continues on, it seems to just get worse now, is a lack of hunger for history. And I'm not assuming everyone, I can't generalize everyone in one, you know, one picture, but I have been seeing a, you know, just a lack of desire to know what has happened before, what is the cause or what is the root behind things that we are doing now that were started years and years and years ago. And I believe when we can look at what has happened before, a tremendous amount of pain and suffering can be avoided by learning from the mistakes that have been done previously. And so with that said, I encourage you, outside of listening to this podcast, I encourage you to really take it upon yourself to ask questions. You know, why does my family do this? Why do we do these specific things in my church? Why is it that I tend to lean more to this style of art or music or teaching or whatever it might be? There's a beauty within asking questions. And I believe that God has given us this ability to think and to rationalize things and to really be analytical in the way we approach things. However, within that, it is not that we are to rely on our own understanding, but to utilize this ability to ask God for wisdom and for the truth. And so as we have given our lives to Christ, you know, we're called to be free. We're called to experience this life of freedom with Him. And we're not supposed to necessarily go back to our old life. And I think this is something really well put together in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. And it's written, "Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that did not even exist." And these being idols, these being things that were made by the hand of man in hopes to give provision, in hopes to do the things that only a one true God can do. But through the false understanding that man has had for hundreds and thousands of years, continuing to think that you can make something with your own hands and then it providing for you, which is false. So continuing in verse 9, "So now that you know God," or I should say, "now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing." And this was Paul writing this. And the reason I mention this is because, unfortunately, for the, what is it now, almost 2,000 years that Christianity has been at what it is now after the life of Christ, unfortunately, we have been corrupted with a false understanding of who God is. We have been corrupted with religion. We have been corrupted with pagan ideas and traditions that have infiltrated true Christianity. And now you look at the word Christianity today and you think, well, what kind? You know, you got Catholicism, Baptists, Protestants, Lutherans, you know, you got Latter-day Saints, you got all these different denominations. And although we all claim to follow Christ, each one has a different, I suppose, way of doing it. However, there should be no confusion as to how we are to live for Christ if the Bible is our true source. And it's not about one person's perspective trumping the rest, but it's about us being in sync and in unison with the Holy Spirit to make sure that we are doing God's work the way He wants us to do it, not doing it the way one individual perceived it and now is inspiring or causing others to fall into their own perspective. And so if we are to model the life of Christ, we're not called to go back to other things that we've done before. We're not called to do things that man has thought of. We're called to fall under the servanthood, fall under the leadership of Christ. And within that, we need to know the truth. And so if we're not asking God for wisdom as to, God, why is it that this tradition is such a big part of my culture? Why is it that this is what we do every this holiday or that holiday? Why is it that my parents don't even bother to ask the question? And if I dare to ask the question, they say, don't ask the question. This is just how it's been done. We don't ask questions about this. You don't need to challenge this. But if something can't be challenged, if there can't be an answer for what you do, or if somebody can explain why they do what they do, you know, I genuinely don't see that as wise counsel or wise leadership. I mean, for every single action that we do, especially for the body of Christ or for the kingdom of heaven, it all comes with an explanation. There's clarity in each and every single part of it. And so how can we do something regularly and then even encourage other people to do it with us if we can't explain these things? So with that said, I believe a major root of this problem is the lack in believing that the word of God is supreme, that it is true and that everything in it has been placed there for a reason. And quite often people will say, oh, well, I think the Bible contradicts itself here and here and here. I've often heard people say that. However, if you were to ask them, okay, where does it contradict themselves? Where does it contradict itself? They won't be able to tell you, because the contradiction quite often comes from within, and it is a contradiction within their own thinking process rather than it being a true textual, scriptural contradiction between one and the other. And even in the midst of that, if you're a true born-again believer, it is not about you contradicting, it's not about you contradicting the Bible or the Bible contradicting itself. It's quite often a lack of wisdom, a lack of knowledge that causes you not to understand what the scripture is saying, oftentimes due to a lack of intimacy with Christ. Often also due to a lack of community with people who have been blessed to understand scripture in other ways that we may have yet not understood yet. Maybe we're, you know, new in Christ, or we haven't been blessed with understanding scripture the way other people have because they have devoted their time to understanding what God is saying. And so it comes down to, since we don't know, or since so many don't believe that the Bible is ultimate truth, they begin to believing half-truths, and unfortunately, that doesn't bring salvation. And so there are people teaching about whether it be baptism, whether it be what does it really mean to be saved, what is true salvation, what is the full gospel. The second we have minute, and they could be very minute holes within the gospel, within the way you share something, when there start to be small holes being made in there, that opens a door for more error to enter over time. And so now we see what Christianity is 2,000 years since Christ's life. And I mean, it's quite easy to say it's unfortunately a mess. And for someone to say they're a Christian almost comes with a 2,000-year-old, baggage that you now have to try to defend. And it's almost, when you talk to people who are against Christianity or who don't believe that there is a God, you know, they'll often bring up the history of what has happened in the past, or they'll bring up negative things that have been done by, quote unquote, the church, and now you have to speak for these things. And so without us understanding what the truth is, that there is a spiritual realm at work in this. You know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against authorities of the dark world. Like, this isn't a joke in regards to what has happened in the church. The church has been under attack since its birth, you know? And unfortunately, there is a huge line between there being a lukewarm style of Christianity and there being radical Christianity. And I heard it in a funny way. For those who take the words of Christ and the scriptures very seriously, I've heard someone call you guys are like Christian ISIS. And for those of you who know about Islam, I mean, it's the way ISIS continues to pursue what they do and teach others and indoctrinate what they know. They take it to an extreme. However, I believe that the extreme form of each religion is its true one. So you look at the life of Christ, he is the most radical, extreme human being on the face of the earth ever in history. I mean, who else are we talking about regularly for the last 2,000 years? Who has challenged societal norms to the extent that Christ did? Who has done things that have never been done before in history of mankind? Christ did these things. And so if we don't look at the history of who Jesus was, what took place, you know, why are things being done the way they are done now in churches all over the world? You know, why is there an order of worship? Why is one person teaching majority of the time? Why are they specific people who are leading worship, or I should say leading songs and praise to God? Why are there specific people doing specific jobs? When you start asking these questions, you are caused to come to a conclusion. And I've, over the last year and a half or so, I've been on this quest to find truth and say, God, I want to know the truth no matter the cost. I don't care if it hurts my feelings. I don't care if it shatters what I've believed for the last 20 years or 25 years or so, I want to make sure that I'm in right standing with you, because if I stand before God on Judgment Day and I didn't take this seriously enough to ask the questions, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. And then for the rest of eternity, as you are separated from God because of a lack of seriousness to pursuing Him and knowing the truth, you're going to know, even from that day onwards, you're going to be like, wow, I didn't bother to put the time in. I had the time, but I didn't bother to put it in to know whether or not what I was doing was absolutely true. And so, unfortunately, there is a true difference between there being followers of Jesus and there being fans of Jesus. People who like the ideas and different things that Jesus has shared, but don't fully devote themselves to the teachings and to the things that He has brought to us. And you can't nitpick, you know, the teachings of Christ. Like, you're literally customizing your own religion. And it's wrong. And ultimately, you're choosing to be God. And so when we see what's happening in the world today, and we see what's happening within the church, within politics, within countries, within families, everything that's going on right now is under attack by the demonic world. Because we are living in a broken world. And as long as there is sin in this world, things will go wrong. Families will be broken, churches will be broken apart, people's faith will be at risk, because we're in a constant war. And unless we look at it that way, we're being oblivious to what is actually happening. And so my encouragement to you guys, these are actually I share two books that have been radically changed my perspective of what does it really mean to live a life as a disciple of Christ, as well as what is the history behind the church. One book by a man I've had the pleasure to meet, his name is Torben Sonnergaard. There is a book called The Last Reformation. It is back to the New Testament model of discipleship, and it goes through the history of Christianity as to why we do the things we do, and simply to bring us to a reality that, hey, just because it's been done for the past however many hundred years doesn't mean it's right. Just because something can be said over and over and over and over and people stop questioning it doesn't mean it's true. All right. And then another book that honestly just completely blew me out of the water when it came to my pursuit in truth and pursuit in Christ is Pagan Christianity by Frank Viola. Actually, I believe there are two authors to his book. Let me give both the credit. Yes, it's Frank Viola and George Barna. This book is unbelievable. It explores the roots of church practices. If you have any questions as to why we do the things we do today in Christianity, or why do we do the things we do in churches, which unfortunately is usually under the entire umbrella of Christianity, because people don't think that life outside of the church entails Christianity as well. These two books have radically, radically, radically helped me understand why we do the things we do. And if you are at all questioning, maybe I don't really see what we're doing in church in the Bible. I don't see any instruction about these things in the book of Acts or any of the letters. I don't know why we're doing this. These are two great resources for you to go ahead and check out. I remember there being a story in Luke. Jesus was teaching in a house, and I mean, super, super crazy response. He was teaching in a house, and it was so crowded in there that when his mother and brothers came to find him, they weren't able to get in. And so somebody had said, I'll just read it from Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. It says, "Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, 'Your mother and your brother are standing outside. They want to see you.'" Check this out. Verse 21, Jesus replied, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and obey it." I mean, I can't imagine the response of actual mom and brothers if they were to hear this. I'm sure they relayed this back down to them. But to think about this, Jesus says, "My mother and my brothers, my family are those who hear God's word and obey it." And that draws a clear line in the sand as to who are those that are looked at as the body of Christ. Who is the family of Christ? Only those who hear God's word and obey it. It's not just you hearing it. It's not just you knowing about it. It's you doing what you hear. And if we are reading scripture but not applying it to our lives, it's ridiculous. I think, hold on, there's another verse in James. Beautiful. Okay. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, it goes, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." There's a huge difference between us hearing something and us doing something. I currently have an apprentice with me at my job, in my work. And I'm teaching him something. No matter how many times I can explain something to him, unless I show him with my hands how to do it and he does it himself, it won't be as memorable and he won't remember it as clearly as if he had done it himself. If I just keep telling him something over and over, but him never doing it, naturally, all human beings work this way, you won't remember it that well, because we are visual learners. We get to, when we put our hands on something, when we're able to do something, it's so much easier for us to remember that. And so same goes with scripture. It says, if you see yourself and it's like looking in a mirror, you see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. Man, if we don't apply what we read, if we don't apply, you know, what it is to live a life for Christ, what does it mean to not worship other idols before the Lord? Do we know what these things are? Do we understand the reality that the demonic world exists and we are under attack daily? And Satan does not want us to remain holy and righteous in this life. If we're reading scripture, hearing messages, hearing sermons, listening to other people talk, but not applying it to our lives, we genuinely set us up for failure. And unfortunately, that is a major part in the lack of knowledge that destroys, and I mean destroys, so many people's lives. Because with wisdom, I don't remember exact scripture, but it says, the beginning of all wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And I didn't really understand that until I read a book, I believe it's called Fear of God or Fear of the Lord by, what's his name? Come on, Lord. John Bevere, thank you, Jesus. Amazing author, another one that has really, really done a great job in just sharing what the Bible says in a new perspective and a clear way to understand it. Man, if we don't understand that we will be separated from God for eternity if we do not live a life in pursuit of Him, man, if that does not resonate in you, if you don't truly understand that, then you've set up yourself. You've been set up for failure. And when we have traditions, holidays, historical moments, people who are in leadership, people who are teaching things that may not be or may be contrary to the truth in the Bible, and we're not knowing how to test these things to the Word of God because we don't have wisdom, because we don't search for it, because we're not seeking it, well, what do you expect? And our hope as the body of Christ is to bring more people to Christ. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need workers. Are we praying for more workers? Are we praying for more people who are radically changed for Jesus, who want to pursue this life, not only for Jesus, but to Jesus, with Jesus? Like, this entire life means absolutely nothing without Christ. It's an absolute waste of time. Because without Him, you will naturally fall back into your natural state, which is a sinful nature, and you will reap the result of sin, and that being death, damnation. And so my encouragement to you as creatives, as those who maybe don't even do too much creative things, but have been encouraged by this podcast, is ask questions, know why we do the things we do, ask your leaders, "Wait, hey, I'm not sure. Can you show me in scripture why we do these things? Because I haven't seen it in scripture. Can you explain it to me? Why are we going about these things? Because I want to make sure I'm not doing anything contrary to the word of God." And if somebody can explain to you why they're doing what they're doing, then it is a very, very dangerous position to be in as a, I don't want to say follower, but maybe student or apprentice, or you're being discipled by somebody and they're not able to explain to you the full truth and full reality behind different things. That's as dangerous. And ultimately, the best teacher we have that is accessible to all of us at any point in time is the Holy Spirit. And simply spending time with God and asking God to reveal what it is that we need to know. God, what is it that I'm doing that is wrong? What is it that I'm doing that may be an error? Because if we don't do the, I mean, Paul talks about examining ourselves daily. I mean, it genuinely takes seconds, minutes to do something different that's contrary to God. And if we're not mindful of these things, I mean, I share all these things out of concern and out of love and out of reverence for you. And my hope isn't that you are pushed away or you are being, offended by any of this, but I believe as the body of Christ, we need to be challenging what we're doing. And all the things that are true will hold up to God's word. And there's no way that it wouldn't, because God stays true to everything he says. And he is sovereign above all these things. And there's no question that hasn't been answered. There's no idea that hasn't been brought to him. There's no problem that hasn't happened before. He knows all things. And we're blessed to be in union with him. So why not go ahead and take advantage of the opportunity to simply ask for wisdom? I don't have time to read this scripture, but if you just go ahead and look into Proverbs chapter 2, you could just look at the whole chapter. It just talks about the benefits of wisdom. Truly, truly amazing chapter that just really shares the reality of what it is to have wisdom with God and just simply seeking it and earnestly desiring it. I believe that's all I wanted to share. There's so many things I can go and dive into minute details on, but I don't believe that was necessary for this episode. Maybe in the future I'll be able to do that. But for future episodes, if there are any topics, any things that you would love for me to dive in and break down and see what the Lord will speak to me about, I would love to hear from you. So shoot me an email at iamisaacweedon@gmail.com and or shoot me a message on Facebook, Instagram, however that is easiest for you. If you've been blessed and enjoying this podcast, please go ahead and either follow, share it, comment, give a review, thumbs up. I'm not sure how all the platforms work, but if you're able to review it, praise God. If you're able to follow it, please do as you wish. And if there's anything that you disagree with, please let me know. I would love to continue to learn more and more about what God is doing. And I never want to be an error or share anything that is an error with God's word. So with all that said, I am appreciative of all of your time. Thank you so very much for spending a half hour with me. I am very excited for the next few episodes. Please be praying that God continues to lead this. I don't ever want to do this on my own. This isn't something that I hope to glorify myself with or be able to boast about, but this simply being something I'm able to serve God with, as well as just be obedient to share the truth. And so, yeah, this has been a true privilege. I actually have some music projects that were dropped in the meantime that I didn't do a podcast. So if you'd like to check out some new music, I did drop a instrumental beat tape. It's called the Autumn Tape Album. It is 20 minutes of lo-fi instrumental beat music. If you're down for lo-fi beats and jazzy beats and whatnot, you can go ahead and find that on Spotify or Apple Music or any of your favorite streaming platforms. And aside that, God is good. Things are going well. I really appreciate all you guys' feedback. I'm very encouraged, and I hope to continue to do this for a long time, as long as the Lord allows it. All right. Until then, I will speak to you and continue to seek the Lord and seek truth. All right. Enjoy Jesus. Over and out. Peace.